We're joined now in the green room by Will Kimbrough, playing on stage at Lost River Sessions in just a few moments. Fresh off a show last night in Lexington, now tonight in Bowling Green. Do you have any particular memories of shows in Kentucky through the years?
Oh, yeah. We used to play Picasso's in Bowling Green, and that's where I met all the Government Cheese guys. And Tommy Womack and I have a new album out right now. So Michael Grimes, who is now owner of Grimey's Records in Nashville. So all these friends... Michael Romanowski is out in the Bay Area. Now he's a mastering engineer, and he's an old friend too. So all kinds of Kentucky memories. In fact, my band Willie Sugarcaps is playing Hopkinsville in September too. So all those folks will drag their bodies up from the Gulf Coast and play that theater up there in Hopkinsville. So
very cool. And you mentioned that new album with Tommy. Talk a little bit about that project.
Yeah. So we have a band called Daddy. And this is our third album. It's called Let's Do This. And we had recorded some tracks about a year ago. And then Tommy was diagnosed with cancer for a second time. Now, folks, he's okay. But he had to go through chemo again. And I just thought it would be a good thing to pull these tracks off the shelf and go ahead and finish it and get it out. Give him something to think about besides the big C. And so that worked out great. We did a little crowdfunding program, and we got orders from Japan and Germany and Sweden and England and Ireland and, of course, all over the U.S. and tons of Kentucky orders. And now it's out, and it's about to be, you know, going out for Americana Radio and in distribution in stores and digital distribution. So, in fact, it's in digital distribution now. So Daddy is the band, and Let's Do This is a new album. And so I'm delighted about it, yeah.
Your music kind of spans different genres. What did you grow up listening to?
I grew up listening to classic rock, and then I was a nerd who read the liner notes. So when I had the Allman Brothers at Fillmore East, I noticed that Stormy Monday Blues was written by T-Bone Walker, so I looked that up, and that led me to T-Bone and B.B. King and Jump Blues, and then I read that Statesboro Blues was written by Willie McTell, and I found out that was Blind Willie McTell, and I looked up his music, and that led me to, you know, Sunhouse and Mississippi John Hurt and Robert Johnson, and I could go on all day. But so that all led me out to different things. And then living in Nashville, you inevitably learn how to play country music sort of the way that the good Lord intended it. And so I've gotten to work with Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell, among other people, but also people like Mavis Staples, who are known for gospel and soul. And so I think your palate just expands with your experience, but also your desire to make those sounds that move you, that move the sounds that moved my soul, made me get chicken skin and made the hair stand up on the back of my hand. And I was like, I want to learn how to play that. So there's a lot of full circles that come around if you just stay alive long enough. And one is, I'm still touring with Emmylou Harris, and we're going to do some shows later this year with Ry Cooter. So that's like a just bucket list upon bucket list. So I'm very lucky, and I love doing this, and I just try to keep going.
In addition to being a performer, you also have a great reputation as a songwriter. What's your writing process like?
When my children were small, that's a time when a lot of people simply throw their hands up and say, I don't have time to write. I don't have time to be a writer. I just decided at some point that I needed to write, and I needed to reteach myself my creative process, which had been, you know, coffee and a notebook and solitude, you know, piano and a guitar. And I just didn't have that anymore. If I was at a piano, my three-year-old might be banging on the piano, and I didn't want to stop her from doing that. So I just decided that 24/7 was writing time, whether you're taking in information or putting it out. And so that became a huge leap forward for me, because I was not worried about it anymore, and I started writing things down and recording things into a cassette and later an iPhone or whatever. And, you know, there's no excuse to lose your idea. And if an idea is good, it'll still be good 2 weeks later or the next day. If it's not that great, you know, you'll kind of go, meh, you know, listen to that one. I'll just erase that. But so, you know, I've ended up being a prolific writer, and I love it. That's what I've always wanted to do. And I've gotten into production. I've been producing a lot of records, and I still play sessions. And all that stuff feeds your creative process if you're open-minded about it. And learn from, you know, you can learn, I'll never do that again, or you can learn, gosh, I hope they call me again, you know, and anything in between. So it's pretty charmed life, to be honest.
And you've worked with so many people through the years. How do you pick who you want to collaborate with, and how does that work?
Well, sometimes you pick them, and sometimes they pick you. I have an unlikely collaboration going on about 15 years with Jimmy Buffett. And even though it's not that unlikely because we're from the same neck of the woods on the Gulf Coast, but my roots and his at a certain point are the same, and then they diverge. Like I wanted to be Joe Strummer, you know. I wanted to be a punk rocker, and when he was playing the steel drums, and but then you merge, you merge back into the same interests, and then also he just called me, and I answered the phone, and we wrote a bunch of songs together. And then other people, Tommy Womack, Todd Snyder, those are just sort of organically, somebody needed a guitar player or somebody was looking for band members, and I ended up being the person that picked up the phone. Once again, must be present to win. So I just picked up the phone and showed up. And then I had these, and then, you meet other people throughout, recording sessions. You meet somebody that you know played on some records that you like, and you get to know them, or you sidle up to them and ask them some questions, and maybe you exchange numbers. And it's just, I guess, the annoying word, networking. But networking doesn't have to. When I was younger, I thought that meant I had to go out and like hand out business cards. And as time went on, it became easier for me to simply meet people in work situations. So that's what I do.